Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 104.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This evening's prayer will be offered by Representative Warren. I'd ask our members and the guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. O merciful God, our Heavenly Father, our spiritual and physical Creator, at this very minute and at every minute of every day, billions of voices across this planet and for all we know across the universe call out to you for myriad reasons, some in desperation, pleading for healing, physical and or spiritual, for themselves or loved ones. Some call out asking for guidance or forgiveness. Some just to praise you and to thank you for answering their prayer. And yet you, merciful and ever-patient God that you are, encourage all to turn to you in times of need and in times of trial, that we may know we are never truly alone unless we choose to be by ignoring your never-ending invitation to seek assistance and comfort in your loving embrace. At this moment, Lord, we raise our voice to simply say, thank you, Lord, for allowing us this opportunity to serve our fellow man, bearing in mind the awesome responsibility that whatever we do for our brethren, we do unto you. Thank you for giving us the ability and the talents we need to govern accordingly. We thank you and we praise you. And all that we ask now, Father, is that you be with us, within each of us, this moment, that we may exercise that responsibility judiciously and fairly in a manner pleasing to you. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for July 30th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for July 30th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Representative Lewis, recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules Calling Operations of the House Committee Report, Senate Bill 537, Adult Care Home Payment Counselor, Substance Abuse, Social Worker, Act Amendment, DHHS, favorable.
Counter, Representative Rule 36B. Counter, Senate Bill 199. Clerk will read.
Senators Britt, Harrington, and Chaudhary, Senate Bill 199, a bill to be entitled Child Sex Abuse, Strengthen Laws, General Assembly, North Carolina Acts.
Members, we are now in business of the House. For what purpose, gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell Rice?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, I won't be long. We have been through the contents of 199 and House Bill 37, which make up the new and improved 199 before you. I would just tell you that what this boils down to is what the Supreme Court said in the Landgraf ruling several years ago regarding statutes of limitation, And they said, there is no such thing as a vested right to do wrong. There is no such thing as a vested right to do wrong. What this bill seeks to do through several avenues is to prevent the expansion, the protection of predators who prey on children. Childhood sexual abuse is a particularly vile crime. You rip the life and the innocence out of a child's life. The child himself, even though it may be just an act of a few minutes, it has lifetime consequences for the child. What we need to do in North Carolina is take a careful look at our statute of limitation laws, personal injury statute of limitation laws, that are over 120 years old, and bring them into the 21st century. That's what this bill seeks to do. So as you consider your vote and what we hear in the debate that remains, I would just ask you to remember children who, as adults, suffering from the trauma of child sexual abuse, experience nightmares, guilt for a crime they did not commit, shame and embarrassment for an act that was forced upon them, and then they have to deal with the consequences. Who should pay for that? The victim? Our communities? Or the predators? This bill seeks to put the predators in the crosshairs and to protect children. I urge you to vote green.
For what purpose delay from Surrey, Representative Stevens rise.
To speak on the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members of the House, I think vaguely you remember when I spoke on House Bill 37 about this bill, and Representative Rydell stood up and said, but we've seen it in Connecticut, and there hasn't been any flood of legislation. So I went and checked on that. I agree. If it was a way we could hold just the perpetrator of the actual offense responsible, I have no problem with what he's trying to do. However, that's not what this is about. Because what they have done with all of the lawsuits in Connecticut have been to sue someone else. They're looking for those deep pockets. They sued the Newington Board of Education for something that happened a long time ago by a teacher, whether they knew about it or not. They sued the Stanford Board of Education and got $3.25 million because five children had been sexually abused by one teacher, whether they knew about it or not. The St. Francis Hospital had to pay $2.75 million for a child abused by a doctor. The Diocese of Bridgeport, $3.55 million with five victims. And John Doe, a victim who wasn't even identified, got $1 million out of the Boy Scouts of America. The Society of St. Edmund, the Roman Catholic Diocese Church of Norwich, and the Sacred Heart Church got $900,000 for one victim molested. So what happened, and there's several more of those. Then what happens? We go outside and file bankruptcy. The Archdiocese of Portland was the first to do it. 3 months later, the Roman Catholic Diocese in Tucson, Arizona followed suit. Bankruptcy by 15 other Catholic dioceses and religious orders filed for bankruptcy. Three more Catholic churches are doing it. Now, the U.S. Gymnastics Association did it. The Boy Scouts of America are doing it. They're all filing bankruptcy because this is about money. I'm a lawyer. I believe in going against people who get hurt. But we're talking about 30 years from now, and a large part of this was we had no way to defend ourselves. Apparently something happened on our watch, and even if we didn't know about it, we were held responsible. That's going to cause insurance premiums to go up. That's going to cause more and more people to be concerned. I was trying to explain to my daughter a little about this bill. She teaches second grade, or she did, taught second grade. She teaches eight-year-olds. Under this bill, for the next 30 years, she's going to have to be worried or prepared or ready to defend herself against any child who says, I was inappropriately touched by her 30 years ago. I agree that we need to go against those perpetrators, but it needs to be within a reasonable period of time. It's a 3-year statute of limitations, currently 3 years after you reach adulthood, 3 years after 18, so until the child's 21. I've talked to Representative Rydell about 28. 10-year statute of limitations is pretty much some of the longer ones we have. We've talked about the possibility of whether we could limit it to just the defendant, the actual perpetrator. But I would invite any of you who do much law work, please discuss with me what we do about derivative liability. How do we set one statute of limitations for one thing and a different one for the same action against different parties? So that's the biggest concerns I have with this bill. The first part of the bill are things that were requested by the Attorney General's office. We've already passed this over in one form, so I really regret that it's gotten into this part because it may well be dead as a result. It's hard to vote against a bill like this, but I feel like I need to based on the reasons I just gave you.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, put the predators in the crosshairs. This bill does a lot more than that. It puts in the crosshairs a 23-year-old young man who has sex with his 17-year-old fiance. It puts in crosshairs a one-time offender that happens to be on the registry who's never offended again, never will. Our recidivism rate at the end of 3 years is 3%. In 25 years, it's 20%. What are we doing for the 80% of offenders that are trying to do it right? We talk about supporting people who are trying to do the right thing. We were all created innocently. We all make mistakes. And when 80% of offenders are reformed, we aren't doing anything except making them dangerous offenders. That's not right. This bill needs to be fixed. And I'm a no vote until we do that.
For what purpose, gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Child sexual abuse is intolerable and needs to be punished through criminal prosecution and through civil claims. And survivors of such abuse may even need much longer to file their claims. But my primary concern with this bill has to do with the revival of claims that have already gone away, in some cases decades ago. And the impact likely upon child-serving institutions. Now, I ran a summer camp for kids, and luckily in the time I was there, I only had one claim. But it was the most traumatic experience I dealt with. As I indicated when the bill originally came in committee, I saw really a huge change in the world that I operated in over the 20 years that I was a camp director. In the first part of those 20 years, it was very rare, if at all, that the issue of child sexual abuse was discussed anywhere. Training, among your staff, it just was one of those unspoken things. Fortunately, by the time the end of my career as a camp director, it was a subject that was always discussed. It was always trained upon. And while that one incident at my camp some time ago occurred, even with all the checks you do on your staff and all the training you do, I was happy about it to the extent that that child felt comfortable enough in the environment that was ours that he came forward like immediately and I could do something about it which included getting criminal authorities involved right away. And the reason for that is that parents now, frankly, they pretty much sensitize their kids to these things. They're having discussions with their kids about things they wouldn't have talked about several decades ago. And so for me, the bill is just flawed. I fully expect it to pass overwhelmingly because everybody can't vote, to protect child molesters. But to tell you the truth, we're making a big mistake here. One of the rare times I hope the Senate corrects our mistake. We shouldn't be reviving these claims. Perhaps we should extend the statute of limitations. But this bill, while well-intended, I think is going to have impacts beyond what we hope for, and that is the child molester himself or herself paying the price. It comes back actually to what Representative Stevens said about derivative liability. I used to be a lawyer, and you sue the child molester, but you sue whoever employed the child molester, whoever supervises the child molester. You're just looking for a deep pocket. And I suspect we're going to end up punishing the wrong folks, which will ultimately impact the child-serving organizations, many of them nonprofits, that we entrust our kids to. I'll be voting no.
For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Terry Rice?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question based on the fact that I'm not on any of the committees that vetted this.
To whom does the lady wish to address the question?
The bill sponsor, I suspect.
Representative Riddell, does the gentleman yield?
Yes,
he yields.
Representative, is there a provision here, any place that lends itself to clergy molestation?
I'm not sure I caught the last bit of that. Would you mind repeating that?
What, basically...
Gentlemen, yield to an additional question?
Yes,
he yields.
Yes. I don't know how to say it any differently. I'm just wondering if there's anything in there that would lend itself to a person who is responsible for who children have to be in contact with. I think about the clergy in terms of being the victims or the perpetrators. Does the bill lend itself to any of that? I haven't read it, so I was just wondering about that as I listened to the debate.
If I understood the question correct, Representative Terry, it would apply to anyone who has sexually molested a child. Doesn't matter what your title, where you are, who you are. This bill would provide a civil option for a victim to seek redress.
Representative Riddell, does the gentleman wish to debate the bill a second time?
Just briefly.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple of clarifications here on what you just heard. I never said that there would be no lawsuits. I intend fully that there will be lawsuits. Connecticut's instance that Representative Stevens cited, there were at least 10 predators identified, unmasked, who previously were unknown to the community. Now, the average predator has over 100 victims in the course of their lifetime. So you multiply those 10 individuals by 100, you have 1,000 potential victims of these individuals. The average cost to the community for a victim of child sexual abuse is $210,000. That works out to $210 million saved by the community by having these 10 predators exposed. Now, Thomas Akempis, in closing, made this statement, said, "Everyone desires peace, but very few desire those things that make for peace." Everyone is against child sexual abuse. You won't find anybody here, anybody in the street, that would say they're for it. But it's one thing to be against it, and it's another thing to want to take serious measures to stop it. Now, I am willing to meet with anybody in good faith to work on this bill as it goes over to the Senate. I have talked to several individuals previous to this third reading today and promise them that I will work with them in good faith to try to change maybe some of the things that give them a little heartburn, some pinch points, while still maintaining a very rigorous prosecution of those convicted of child sexual abuse. Please vote green.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 199 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote.
Representative Warren, do you wish to vote?
Clerk will like machine record the vote. 90 having voted in the affirmative and 17 in the negative. Bill is ordered engrossed and returned to the Senate. House Bill 305. Clerk will read.
Representative Setzer, Howard, Sain, and Destin Hall. House Bill 305, a bill to maintain an act to study impact of funding of undergraduate summer school courses in improving graduation rates and student academic success, and to appropriate funds to support expansion of college advising corps and to ensure college advisors available to public schools to assist students in planning for fulfillment of post-secondary education goals. General Assembly, no client in acts.
Gentleman from Iredell, Representative Fraley, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have been talking about summer school being added to the enrollment funding in the UNC system in order to move students through the system more quickly and less cost. We've taken this bill through Ed Universities and full appropriations with very strong support. Additionally, this is added to the appropriation for College Advising Corps, which helps students get through high school with getting institutional aid and scholarship money and getting aligned with the proper community college and university. I'd ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 385 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will machine record the vote. 107 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 305 passed the second reading. Bill without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly, no client in act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 305 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 305 having passed third reading. It's ordered sent to the Senate. For what purpose the gentleman from Cumberland? Representative Floyd Rice.
Mr. Speaker, on Senate Bill 199, from a no to a yes.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on third reading of the passage of Senate Bill 199. House Bill 372, clerk will read.
Representatives Murphy, Humphrey, Candace Smith, and Bell. House Bill 372, a bill to maintain an act to commend the Board of Governors of the University of North Carolina for standardized advanced placement credit policies and to allow students to complete undergraduate degrees in a more efficient and timely manner and to appropriate funds for the Morganton campus of the North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics. General Assembly, no client in acts.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And simply, the bill commends the Board of Governors of the UNC system for standardizing the advanced placement credit policies and makes an appropriation for the North Carolina School of Science and Math. And we had a very strong vote in education universities and would appreciate your support, and I'm available for any questions.
For what purpose, gentleman from Vance, Representative Garrison Rice.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, to change my vote on Senate Bill 199 from nay to aye.
Jumbo records having voted aye on passage of Senate Bill 199 on third reading. For what purpose, gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell Rice.
I'd like to speak to an amendment on the bill. I'd like to amend the bill.
The gentleman has recognized Senate Fourth Amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Russell moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 1, 2 through 5 by rewriting those lines to read.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Most of you know I came to North Carolina 28 years ago as a college professor at Appalachian State, devoted most of my professional career at App State as a professor and department chair of computer science. The amendment that I've filed here deletes lines 10 through 24 of this bill, which would delete the section of commendation to the Board of Governors for basically forcing all departments to recognize a grade of 3 or greater on AP exams. The real question on these was the grade of 3. Grade of 3 on an AP exam, they go from 1 to 5, and a 3 is a marginal score, which for most cases is okay for our purposes in a STEM discipline like computer science, but particularly in our foundational courses, calculus, computer science 1, that grade of 3 is a marginal score, which in reality could put students at risk of greater likelihood of not being successful. For example, in both of those courses in our department, we don't even accept our own grade of a C in those courses in order to move forward in the program. It's not because we're trying to be difficult or make life more difficult for students. It's actually just trying to ensure that they are successful when they go forward. I really do believe that this will have an adverse effect on many students in many of these courses. Again, this amendment is not to change the policy. That has already been done. It is simply to remove this commendation. In reality, folks who come from families that have a background in STEM disciplines, if my daughter or son came to me, they had a 3 on an AP exam in calculus and they were wanting to major in engineering, I would tell them, you take that course again. You don't know what you need to know in order to move forward in the discipline. So that's really what was forced on several departments. It was done hastily. It took, in 2 weeks' time, departments across the state were told that they had to make this change. The only reason that was given that they could do anything else was if they had clear, hard evidence that this shouldn't be done. The problem was that evidence didn't exist because we'd never been asked this question before. So I just simply ask that we delete the part of the amendment or part of this bill that does the commendation. I think this is a case of the Board of Governors meddling in academic decisions that they don't have the expertise for and deciding things they shouldn't have decided. In July 2017, Bell Whelan, the president of the Southern Association of Schools and Colleges, cautioned our board that when boards start micromanaging, you're stepping out of your lane. And she outlined the 3 primary roles of boards, of policymaking, hiring and firing presidents, and taking fiduciary responsibility for the university. Section 1 being deleted would just simply remove this unnecessary commendation, which I think is misfounded, and I request your green vote on the amendment.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Iredell, Representative Fraley, rise. To debate the amendment, the gentleman has the floor. In all due respect, I would ask you to defeat this amendment. What is in the wording of what the Board of Governors has done and also what is in the bill that's being considered does exactly what opposite of what Representative Russell is talking about, that you're given, each institution has the ability to go to their Board of Trustees and say if an AP grade of 3 is not adequate enough to provide the exception, and then come back to the Board of Trustees and have that approved. I think we've covered all of that in the bill and would ask for your red vote on the amendment.
For what purpose, gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, rise.
To debate, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Well, I've heard a lot of misstatements today, so let me give just a little bit of history so the members understand what transpired. Many of our universities were already granting credit for a score of 3. Some of our universities were not. And so what this does is it makes it fairer for the students so that they have an expectation as to what they can expect when they apply for AP credit, when they apply to college and it's being determined whether they have AP credit. It's retroactive and prospective in nature. It's retroactive in the fact that the students who have already, who are already in the university system can still try to get AP credit even if they started college last year. The prospective nature has to do with the year of the catalog. So, regarding their major, so if a student is a senior and they go through the audit process and it's determined that it won't benefit them because they have to accept a newer catalog of this year of course requirements, they can opt out. But if you're a younger student, a freshman or a sophomore, the catalog probably has not changed that much, so you're probably going to want to opt in. It's not mandatory. And so the Board of Governors, they were simply trying to make the process fairer. And for my daughter, for instance, they received an email, and she does not go to NC State, but someone shared an email from NC State that in March of this year, NC State had already implemented the process and said that, hey, students, if you want to apply for AP credit for a score of 3, call the advisor, go through the audit process, and determine if it's best for you. And so this is not mandatory. This is just simply a process of trying to make it fairer for the students. And this amendment really should be defeated in the interest of the students.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell Russ.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speak a second time.
The gentleman is recognized. Debate the amendment a second time.
Again, my amendment does not change the policy. The policy has already happened. It's already been implemented. It's out there. So the question here is I don't understand why we are commending the board for this process. But I will speak specifically, you know, it said we need to standardize this across the university. Well, I'm sorry. If you're majoring in engineering and computer science and lots of other technical disciplines, that marginal score in a foundational course is almost surely a setup for failure. That is not going to help students get through. It will be a problem. And the ones most affected will be the ones that understand that the least. The first-time students in college from families that don't have this educational experience. And I just think the policy was misfounded, and I just wish we don't commend them for meddling in academic affairs. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman Rice.
Speak on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I feel like what we're doing by commending the board for this policy decision is commending them for thinking outside the box. And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. When I was in college, I took a course in psychology, and it made reference to a study that was done of some architecture students and how they did after they were through with school. And the most successful were the ones who were C students. And the way that they explained that in the study that I read said that the A and B students focused more on what somebody else had done and regurgitating what they had learned from somebody else. The C students were more interested in being creative and doing their own designs, and so they were more successful. And I think this allowing a person who scores a 3 to be able to have advanced placement is akin to that. Think outside the box a little bit and realize that people aren't always going to meet every little check mark that you think they ought to meet and still be able to succeed and able to do well as they continue to study. That's what this is, and I think it should be commended. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, just to reiterate that this is not mandatory. And if you're questioning our duty under the Constitution, Our legislative process is a higher authority than an administrative rule. And so it's our duty here to state what our policy should be, especially when it's fairer for the students who have worked really hard in an AP course. And as I said, it's not mandatory. So I would encourage you to defeat the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Russell. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Murphy, does the gentleman intend to vote aye? Representative Hunter wish to record. Representative Reeves, Representative Montgomery, the members wish to record. Clerk will machine record the vote. 42 having voted in the affirmative, 64 in the negative, the amendment fails. Now back on the bill, further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House, the passage of House Bill 372 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye, those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Morey wish to record on the vote. Representative Hunter. Clerk will machine record the vote. 107 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 372 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly will not decline an act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 372 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 372 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 356. The clerk will read.
Senators Wells and Brown, Senate Bill 356, a bill to be entitled and actually direct a portion of the proceeds from the sale of certain state property to be transferred to the Clean Water Management Trust Fund and the Park and Recreation Trust Fund and to modify various laws relating to the State Surplus Property Agency and the sale of seized motor vehicles. General Assembly, no declining acts.
Gentleman from Alamance, Representative Ross, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, Senate Bill 356 makes a slight modification in the way state surplus property would be handled. In Senate Bill 356, what this does is it takes a small portion of the surplus property sales across the state and puts a portion into the Clean Water Trust Fund, about 12.5%, and 12.5% in the Parks and Recreation Fund. This gives us an opportunity to be able to put additional funds into areas where we need it, the Clean Water Trust Fund, and also into the Parks and Recreation Trust Fund. This does not include property, or property is excluded, that's in the state capital area. That's right around where we are. It also excludes property that's controlled by DOT and property that they have that they reuse or may reuse. Also has some limitations as to what would happen with agency property that may have another use for that property. So this is really all other surplus property that we have within the state. There was an amendment made yesterday in rules, and that simply added some additional language in reference to seized vehicles. One of those is it references the state surplus office setting up two contracts in each region instead of one, and a second provision sets forth an expedited sales process for seized vehicles in local areas. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 356 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will machine record the vote. 107 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill 356 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly is no climbing acts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 356 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 356 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 584, the clerk will read.
Senators Well and Daniel, Senate Bill 584, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to future criminal laws relating to regulatory offenses, to extend the time for local government to report ordinances of criminal penalties, and to require the General Statutes Commission to study current offenses not enacted by statutes. General Assembly, no comment on that.
Gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, this is another small step with the recodification effort that's in its infancy still here in the legislature, but we're simply asking for an extended deadline for the reports that were requested of cities and counties, and we're also exempting a number of the smaller jurisdictions, and then those reports would be turned in to the General Statutes Commission, and hopefully they'll be able to compile a report due in May 2020 that would give us an idea of if there's any other ordinances that have been enacted locally that maybe we should consider making a state law of, and just helping everybody have a standardized penalty there. So this is, a small step forward. Would appreciate your green vote and be happy to answer any questions.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 584 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote.
Representative Hunter, all on the floor.
No. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 100 having voted in the affirmative and 6 in the negative. Senate Bill 584 passes second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly, no comment on that.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 584 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 584 having passed third reading will be returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 590. Clerk will read.
Senator Gunn, Senate Bill 590, a bill to be entitled an act to modify continuing education requirements for real estate brokers and to modify the estate licensing requirements for timeshare salespeople. General Assembly, North Carolina.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. This is a bill to give the Real Estate Commission the ability to offer online continuing education courses to currently licensed real estate agents, brokers. That's it. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 590 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 107 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. Senate Bill 590 passes second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly, no comment on that.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 590 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 590 having passed third reading. Bill will be returned to the Senate. Actually, strike that. Bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Members, for your planning, we're now to notices and announcements. For your planning purposes, tomorrow there will be no votes. Notices and announcements. For what purpose, gentlemen from Wake, Representative Martin Rice.
To speak to a point of personal privilege.
Gentlemen's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I mentioned yesterday that the 82nd Airborne Division had lost two of its paratroopers in Afghanistan on Monday. The Department of Defense has now released the names of the paratroopers that were killed. Specialist Michael Isaiah Nance of Chicago and Private First Class Brandon J. Kreischer of Stryker, Ohio. They're with Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 505th Parachute Infantry Regiment. Specialist Nance was 24 and Private Kreischer was 20 years old. I ask that you keep their families in your thoughts and prayers.
Thank you, Representative Martin. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Holly Rice?
For the point of personal privilege.
Ladies recognized.
As we mourn the death of a couple of our soldiers, a new life has been given today. I'd like to make the announcement that my L.A., Leonard Lewis, has had a baby girl at 2:30 today named Logan Amaya Lewis, and I'd like to welcome her into the world.
Thank you. Any further notices or announcements? For what purpose, Gentleman from Tiger, Representative Russell Rise.
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized.
In our district this week, we often don't think about our road workers, but we had a flagger struck by a car and killed this week. I hope you'll keep that family in your prayers.
Thank you. For what purpose, gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise.
Brief point of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the House, you remember just last week we celebrated the 50th anniversary of landing man on the moon. Another first occurred this day, and that was on Apollo 15. The astronauts took the first ride on the lunar rover on the moon's surface. They had planned on doing it a couple days earlier, but the paperwork at the Lunar Motor Vehicle Department held them up just about 2 days. Thank you.
Representative, this is not the adjournment motion, by the way. Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I seek leave of the body so that Representative Quick may be recorded as having voted aye on the second reading of Senate Bill 199, which occurred yesterday.
And Representative Quick, the gentleman is asking to be said recorded. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Without objection, so ordered. Any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Thursday, August 1st at 9 o'clock a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Stevens, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, August 1st at 9 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 270, short title, Durham-Clemens Deannexation, withdrawn from the calendar 36B and recommitted to the Committee on Finance. On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 380, short title, DNCR, add new trails and various changes. That bill, the SEER referral to the Committee on Rules is stricken, and SEER referrals to the Committee on Judiciary, if favorable rules, are added. Representative Lewis is recognized to send forth a Rules Calendar and Operations of the House Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules Calendar and Operations of the House Committee report. House Bill 822, Comprehensive Behavioral Health Plan. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill.
Original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 822 will be calendar pursuant to Rule 36B.
Senate Bill 681, Rural Health Care, Local Sales Tax Flexibility, Utilities Account. Favorable House Committee Substitute Number 2, unfavorable House Committee Substitute Number 1.
House Committee Substitute Number 1 will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the House Committee Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill 681 calendar pursuant to Rule 36B.